Do you realize that that's the last time in 2024 that I'm going to say good morning to you? I mean, time goes by so fast, I can hardly believe that it's already 2025. You know, Mom and Dad were right, okay? It seems like the more mature that you get, the faster time goes. Anyway, we're going to do something different today and new today. However, this time, we're not going to call this a series, we're going to call it a study, all right? Because we're going to study and examine Psalm 91 from its beginning to its end. Well, I feel better. Which is something that I've really wanted to do for a really long time. Really, this psalm holds a special place in my heart, personally, because I've memorized this psalm, but it was in King James, which I'm not going to read today. I've quoted this psalm, and at different times I've prayed this psalm, and many times I've stood on the promises and claimed the promises of protection in this psalm. Because Psalm 91 truly is just ripe with promises of provision and protection. The study that we're going to do is called A Look at Psalm 91, pretty original, huh? And the title of today's message is Wandering in the Wilderness, okay? Wandering in the Wilderness. So let's stand and repeat our Bible declaration together for the last time in 2024. Are you ready? I know you haven't even stood up yet. All right. Take your Bible, your pad, your phone, or whatever. Hold it up in the air and repeat with me. All right? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it said I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. Boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. You may be seated. Psalm 91, at least in my opinion, is one of the most powerful psalms within the book of Psalms. And I believe that because this psalm, it plays a vital role in our lives as believers. According to biblical and according to historical sources, Psalm 90 and Psalm 91 were written by Moses, all right? He wrote them when the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. What happened was now Israel found themselves facing all kinds of opposition. And that opposition was a kind of opposition that they had never faced before this. When they entered the wilderness, which was the result of their lack of faith, it was then that their walk of faith began. How many of you know that going through a wilderness can be a very, very difficult experience? How many of you have gone through the wilderness and you know what I'm talking about? All right? See, the wilderness, the times are hard when we're in the wilderness and very faith-threatening, but we all go through them. The wilderness is when we're going through a battle or a struggle and we need God, but we can't find God. Okay, well, does that mean God took off? No, because he has said he'll never leave us or forsake us, right? But for some reason, we can't feel God, we can't find God, and we have to seek him and search for him with all of our heart. Wilderness wandering is that place where we walk by faith and not by sight. And whether they're brought on by God, which I believe many times they're not, or they're brought on by self, which many times I think they are, our responsibility is to walk through them, trusting that God is always with us and that, again, he will never forsake us. And that is hard in the wilderness because when you can't find somebody, it seems like they're gone. Amen? But God is never gone. Yet it's during those wilderness experiences and after those wilderness journeys, if you will, that you find that your faith has actually grown. But for the first time, the children of Israel were face to face with things like wild animals and ferocious beasts, okay? And they were facing poisonous snakes and scorpions. And if that wasn't enough, they had to trust God completely. How many of you know it is hard to trust God with everything? Come on. It's hard to trust God with everything. But for the first time, for all, not just some, they had to trust God for their daily provisions. Some of the things that you and I take for granted. They had to look to God for things like food and water and protection. And all, say all of their everyday needs. Now, we like to say that we depend upon God, but you know, really, really, we provide for a lot of the needs that we have during the day. What would it be like if you had to depend on God for every bit of food that you ate, every bit of water that you drank? That would be different, amen? And I dare say that would be difficult. But it was during this time, this wandering in the wilderness, that Moses wrote Psalm 91, which begins by saying, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The questions that we want to answer this morning in this message are, what is the secret place of the Most High? And what does it mean to abide there? What does being under the shadow of the Almighty really mean? And what, in fact, is the meaning of the Almighty? Today, I hope that we can answer these questions, but our one true emphasis, and I feel this way about every series or study that I preach, is to activate and take hold of what I preach. This time, God's protective promises and provision that's found in Psalm 91. But in order for us to do that, we have to be believers who, according to the Bible, dwell with God. And not only that, we dwell in a secret place. Let's begin, as if I haven't begun, by reading all of Psalm 91. Now, you have to understand one thing here right now, okay? I memorized this in King James, so I might fall into that every once in a while. And I might say something different than is written on the screen. But it's all right. Yeah. Are you ready? "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He hath," right? "Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side." This is phenomenal promises. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Glory be to God. "Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil," say no evil, "no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him." What a promise. I mean, think of it. "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him." Wow. "I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." That psalm was just packed full of promises. Wouldn't you agree? All right. Gary Timmer, if you would come up here and pray for the message. Thought I forgot, didn't you?
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Father, For each person that's hearing this word today, God, that is in the wilderness, Father, I know for some, Lord, it's an actual physical wilderness, Lord. Others, it may be a spiritual wilderness that they're going through that isn't as easy to see. But Father, I thank you that today, as Pastor West preaches, that his words, Lord, which is your word, is going to come alive. Father, then it's going to speak to each person that's going through whatever they're going through. God, again, some we see, some we don't. But Father, I thank you that in your word there's strength. God, I thank you that in your word there is peace. God, and that in your word, Lord, there are answers. And Father, as your word goes forth today, I thank you that all of those are going to come through. God, give us ears to hear.
Yes, Lord.
And give us ears to do what we hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. So the question is this: what is the secret place of the Most High? The secret place that's mentioned in verse 1 is a place of safety and concealment. How many of you have ever gone through a situation where you just want to hide?
Yes.
Amen? Amen? Where you are hidden deep inside the person of Jesus Christ. And believe me, there is no better place to be, nor is there a safer place to be in. Psalm 91:1 says this: "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." The word "dwells" in the original Hebrew means, of course, to dwell, okay? Real profound. But a more complete definition is this: it's to lodge or to take up residency or to move into a location or a place, and then you stay there permanently. Say permanently. Permanently. This word "dwells" doesn't describe or depict a visitor who comes and then goes, nor is it talking about someone who just pops in every once in a while for a visit. Instead, it depicts a person who has taken up permanent residency in one place. That's important for you to know. So those who are dwelling in a secret place of the Most High are dwelling and lodging and taking up a permanent residency. In other words, they are living in God's presence. Are you with me? See, three people are with me? I got three. This is important for us to understand, the idea of dwelling and lodging and taking up permanent residency, because it's in verse 1 that we see the foundational condition, if you will, for activating and taking hold of the promises of God that are contained within the psalm. How many of you know that God's promises are yes and amen? That doesn't mean they aren't conditional. Amen? That doesn't mean they aren't conditional. And this is one of the conditions in this psalm. So then, to dwell in the secret place of the Most High means to permanently place ourselves under the protection and provision of the promises of the Almighty. So we are to permanently dwell and live with him in the secret place. But the real question is this: what is the secret place? What is it? In Hebrew, the words "secret place" describe an inner chamber or a place of concealment, a hiding place, if you will, or even a place of secrecy. In fact, it denotes the most secret of places. So there is a place in the Lord for you and I that's called the secret place. And it's a place where we are concealed and hidden in his presence. See, that is awesome when you think about it. How many of you really would like to be hidden when the devil comes after you? Maybe some people come after you, okay? But we are concealed and hidden in his presence. This place of divine secrecy, if you will, is available only to those who have decided to permanently dwell, say permanently dwell, permanently dwell with God. And why am I hitting that so hard? Well, for you and I, that means we are to be in Christ every moment of every day. It means that that we must be seeking him, serving him, loving him, and being conscious of his presence with us every moment of every day. There's no such thing, and you, hear me, please. There is no such thing as taking a day off. Hello? There's no such thing as taking a break from seeking and serving and loving him. I know the promises of God, as I said, are yes and amen, but please hear me. It doesn't mean that the promises lack conditions. There are things that we have to do. And in Psalm 91, verse 1, is the condition for walking in the protection and the promises of Psalm 91. Are you with me? The truth is, for you and I, God is a habitation for those who fear him and seek him and walk with him. All right? And as believers, and as those who have dedicated our lives to serving God, there's no riding the fence, people. I hope you've learned that by now. There's no riding the fence. The blessings don't come when you're riding the fence, people. The healing doesn't come when you're riding the fence. Any of the things of God, the promises don't come when you're riding the fence. And we can never figure out what's wrong. And we want to blame God, but it's never God's fault. Are you still with me? All right. This secret place is described throughout the book of Psalms. Remember this statement, please. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Amen. The unity that's in there. There are many references throughout Scripture that talk about this place of fortified safety. Listen to what David wrote in these passages as we try to define what the secret place is. In Psalm 32:7, he said, "You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble." Here I go again. "You shall surround me with songs of deliverance." In this verse, God is depicted, as our hiding place, which is one of the definitions of the secret place. In Psalm 27:5, David declared, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." In Psalm 31:20, David again says, "You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." Boy, I'd like to be there. How about you? Amen. Here again, we see that the secret place is where we're hidden and where we are concealed and protected. From what? From the enemy. From what else? From people that aren't so nice, all right? From what else? People that want to harm us, whatever. We are protected. The original Greek literally says this, and this ought to get you excited or make you feel grateful, one of the two, okay? The original Greek text literally means we are locked up in the person of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We are locked up. Nobody can get to us, amen? We are locked up in the person of Jesus Christ. Again and again in the New Testament, it states that you and I are in Christ, or that we are in him. So we'll let the Bible interpret the Bible here. Take these verses, for example. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, "But you are in Christ Jesus." In Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 declares, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Ephesians 1:1 is addressed to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:3 states, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4 reveals to us that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:6 adds that he, or God, has made us accepted in the beloved being his son. Amen? This statement is true, all right? If we are in Christ, the promises are activated in our lives. If we are not in Christ, but I'm saved. But how many of you know that there has been times during your Christian walk where you have been in Christ and you haven't been in Christ? You know what I mean? And it has to do with how desperately you seek him, how much you need him, how much you admit that you need him, how much you communicate with him, how much you pray. But Ephesians 2:22 states that we are collectively in Jesus, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Holy Spirit. A couple more. Colossians 2:10 powerfully declares, and you are complete, how? In him, who is the head of all principality and power. And in 1 John 4:15, we are told, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. Anyone, say anyone. Anyone who confesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God opens the door of their life for the fullness of the God's Spirit to enter in and live. Amen? Amen. The truth is, before you were saved, before you gave your life to Christ, before you realized that what he did at Calvary was for you, you were spiritually dead, and you were trapped in your sins. There was no way out. You absolutely couldn't get out of your sins. But at the moment, glory to God, at the moment that you confess that Jesus is the Son of God and believed in your heart that he died to pay the price for your sin, you were born again, and your new life was hidden where? In Christ. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And the thing is, God wants you to permanently dwell there, all right? To take up residency there. Never to leave there. That's what it means to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. To live and take up residency and permanently dwell with him. You know, if you've been struggling to believe that you are truly saved, God wants that struggle to end today. Amen? He wants that struggle to end today. Because if you're having a hard time believing that you're saved, then you're having a hard time accepting what it says in the Word of God. Amen? And if you're having a hard time believing that you're saved, you're having a hard time living the way that you should. The moment, say the moment you call Jesus the Lord of your life, the moment you make that confession, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit baptizes you or places you into the person of Christ. Glory be to God. He is our secret place. And there is no greater hiding place or place of concealment or place of protection than to be in Christ. This is what's really kind of neat. The devil can't find you when you're hidden in Christ. Well, wait a minute. I get attacked all the time by the devil. Well, I'm going to say it again. The devil can't find you when you're hidden in Christ. But it's up to you to live there and to stay in the secret place. Nobody can do that for you. I can't do that for you. Your spouse can't do that for you. Your mom can't. Your dad can't. You know, your sister, your brother, cousins, I can't think of anybody else. Nobody can do it for you. Nobody can pray for you in the morning. Pray, you know what I mean, right? Nobody can pray instead of you in the morning and have it be you praying. Nobody can read the Bible for you. You've got to read the Bible. And those are ways that you stay in the secret place. Those are ways that you get hidden in him. And we can so easily let those things go, so easily let them go and say, well, you know, well, Monday. I'll start Monday. Yeah, that's it. Monday will be the day. And Monday comes and goes and you don't do it. Monday will be the day. And the week goes and then next Monday comes and you still don't do it. You have to make a qualified decision. Amen? To be in Christ. And it's not that we don't make mistakes. We do. But if the intention of our heart is to be there, that's what's important. Hello? Psalm 91 goes on to say, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It's important for us to note that the Hebrew word for Most High is Elyon, which means the one who is supreme, the one who is supreme. This just echoes what Paul wrote about Jesus in Colossians 2:10, where he said that Christ is the head of all principality and power. That means you're complete in him who has authority over every foul, evil force. Come on. Every foul, evil force and every vicious, invisible power that's in heaven or on earth. He has power over all of them, and you are hidden in him. I don't think there's a better place that you can be. Amen? And when you choose to take up that permanent residency in the Most High, Scripture says, you shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The phrase, shall abide in Hebrew means to abide, to dwell, to lodge, or reside. This is what we're called to do, to abide at the Lord's side. Because when you're abiding, you're relaxing and enjoying your place in Christ Jesus. All right? The fact that the Bible says we abide in the shadow of the Almighty is very, very significant. The word shadow describes a shelter or a hiding place. And you know, one who stays in step with the Lord, if you just think about it for a minute, in order to walk in someone's shadow, all right, in order to walk in someone's shadow, you have to be very close to them. You get very far away and you aren't in the shadow anymore. That alone would preach. Too many of us let ourselves get too far away from God because of our jobs, because of our family. And we can all say amen because Christmas just came and we all had to deal with family. Wasn't that wonderful? I'm glad it was for you. But in order to walk in somebody's shadow, you have to be close to them. If they move, you have to move with them. And in the same direction, at the same time, otherwise, you would move out of the shadow and you'd no longer be there. Not everyone can claim or lay claim to the promises that are found in this psalm. Only those who permanently dwell in the secret place and abide close to the Lord in his shadow and in step with him are eligible to inherit these promises. And should it be any other way? I mean, should it be any other way? Our lives are better when we're in Jesus. Our lives are better when we're in the Lord. We all know, I know, you know what it's like to be in the Lord and not to be in the Lord. And I don't mean to be saved and not saved. I mean to be really seeking and pushing and doing everything you can to get the revelation that you need to make it through the day. And reading the Bible, even though you don't want to read Leviticus, I have to admit, I kind of skimmed that book myself. But this brings us to the word Almighty, the Hebrew word Shaddai, which means great provider and one who overpowers everything and everyone else. You see, when you're walking in the shadow of the Lord, you're abiding in the one who has the ability to overcome any and all evil entities or forces that would ever try to assault your life. I rebuke you in the name of what?
Jesus.
Now that you know it's Jesus, let's all say it, okay? I rebuke you in the name of who?
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. Psalm 17:8 says this, keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me under the shadow of your wing. This verse refers to the divine protection that God provides for those who walk closely with him. So again, if you walk close to the Lord, he will be a refuge and a hiding place for you. I mean, wouldn't you have to admit that life is better when you are close to the Lord? Wouldn't you have to admit? And yet our flesh gets all, you know, bound up and all excited because we wander, but rather than wandering away from the Lord, we should wander to the Lord. In him, in God, okay, you shall abide under the defense and protection of the Almighty. I just love the idea, and it excites me that I can get to a place in the Lord, when I'm in the Lord, when I'm seeking, I'm praying, I'm reading, I'm studying, and doing all these things. And making a concerted effort to get to Jesus, that when I am in that position, I abide under the defense and protection of the Almighty. In Psalm 91, verse 1, God makes a place for us to permanently live, to be protected as long as we keep ourselves in Christ. And as I said, nobody can keep you in Christ but you. Amen? And I want you to get that. We have some awesome promises, but you have to be in Christ. All right. Next week, as we continue our study, we'll look at even more promises in Psalm 91. But the way I want to close today is by making Psalm 91, verse 1, our personal declaration. Can we do that? And we're going to do that by saying this with me. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? I do. It's great that Gary does, but I have to. You know, it's great that Rob does, but I have to dwell there. Are you ready? All right. Say it after me, because if you say it with me, it's going to sound... I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide in the shadow of the Almighty. One more time. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Glory be to God that we could even say that this morning. I mean, there was a time in my life where I couldn't say that. I couldn't say I dwelt there. I couldn't say I abided there. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And the thing that's become new in my life, glory to God, is that now I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I do my best to keep in step with him. And I do my best to seek him and worship him and study about him and hear things about him every day of my life. Now, you don't have to be a pastor. Maybe you can't do all those things in a day, but your intention and your direction has got to be towards God. How many of you know what I mean by that? You know when you're going towards God, and you know when you're going away from God. And that's the thing that we have to make sure that we do is be in Christ. Amen? Amen. Why don't we pray? Heavenly Father, why don't you all stand with me, please? Heavenly Father, I pray that each of us would make the decision to be in Christ. We've made the decision, Lord, to accept you. We've made the decision, Lord, that you're the only way and the truth and life. But God, don't let things get stale. Don't let things get old to us and allow us to just fall away. Help us to daily be in Christ. Daily be in Christ. I just want to ask you a question while we're standing in the presence of the Lord. If someone were to ask you right now, are you in Christ? And you know what I'm talking about. Are you in Christ? Is he a priority in your life? Do you show him how grateful you are? If they were to ask you that question, how many of you would have to say, I need to get closer? Why don't you raise your hand for me? I need to get closer. How many of you this morning would say, I need to get in step with God? I've fallen away to a degree. I'm not walking under his shadow. I'm doing just enough to get by. How many of you would have to say that this morning, that's you? Thank you. Heavenly Father, you see the hands that raised today. And no doubt, God, there's more, Lord, that need to take that step to get closer to you. But I pray for each one that raised their hand. And I pray that they would feel a supernatural hunger when they go into prayer the next time. And from that point, I pray, God, that you would change their lives. And I pray, God, that they would begin to seek you and love you and worship you and do all of those things, God, every day of the week. And I pray that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.